Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. Today I'm talking to Grant Klein. You can find him on Instagram at justmeandaknish. Grant Klein, welcome back to the American Glutton Podcast.
What's up? I'm trying to figure out what you want to do with me here, but we'll figure it out, I guess.
Well, okay, it's been a while since we've talked, and the last time we talked, you and Pat Renna were doing all kinds of fucking wild bets, weight loss bets, right?
Yeah, I mean, nothing happened from that. I mean, I think that's the thing, right? We set all these weight loss bets, I think, for your show, and then nothing happened.
Did you? So nobody finished them? Like, you left that day. We recorded that episode in Los Angeles. You walked out and you were like, want to get
we were like, fuck it. Fuck it.
Let's go get a pizza.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've done better than most. I'm down 40.
Nice.
So it's definitely been great. But I can't even remember. I was trying to remember when we did our podcast. Was it pre-COVID or in the middle of COVID?
It was either pre-COVID or in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
It was either pre-COVID or very early COVID.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done really nothing except for just eating better. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's been, you know, like you, it's like I've gone up and down with my weight like pretty much the last 20 years. And, you know, I think last year I was the heaviest I'd ever been.
Okay. You
know? And it was rough. Like, I was just feeling like shit every day. And then finally just was like, maybe I'll try this intermittent fasting thing, you know?
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you attribute the heaviest you've ever been to COVID and the lockdowns and all that?
You know, it's funny. I was reflecting before this. And I was thinking, you know, yes, I mean, I was drinking a ton. I was eating a ton. And it's funny, when I'm happy, I'm actually skinny. When I'm sad, I'm fat. And I think, you know, getting through the days where it's just like all you're doing is you're at home and you're just like fucking eating all the time and you're drinking at nighttime. And it was just a cycle. And
I want to ask you one thing about that too. Do you think the happiness or the sadness is a precursor to the weight, or do you think that it's a result of the weight? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's a precursor for sure. I mean, it's funny, like it's very much tied to like my relationship status. Like when I'm happy and I'm in a good relationship, I tend to be skinnier. Like it's
so
weird.
So 40 pounds down right now, in a relationship, you're happy.
These are the things that, you know, I've noticed just over the years. You know, it's like, you know, I think, you know, it's funny. It's like I started dating a new girl about 6 months ago, and it was really funny because she's a fashion stylist. And one of the things that she did for me was she started buying me baggier clothes because like the 90s are in right now, right? So I'm like, really? Oh, fucking great. Like not only am I down weight, but like also like, you know, the clothes fit me better and things like that. And it's funny because it was like right when we first started dating, she's like, I'll get some clothes for you. And I was so embarrassed about my pant size. Cause I was like, I've always been like a 40, 42, 32, you know? And I was like, yeah, I'm a 38. So I give her my credit card. She goes to Nordstrom. She pulls all this fucking nice shit. And like, I can't fit into any of it. And so like, it kind of like in some weird way gave me incentive because I was like, I actually want to look a little better. And so I just started dropping some weight and, you know, 40 pounds since I guess I started in like early September. So it's been pretty drastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's just intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting, watching what I eat. I do like a little bit more steps every day, like normally, because, you know, I work a desk job. I do typically around 5,000 steps a day, and now I'm doing about 7,500 to 10,000 steps a day.
Nice. And
don't underestimate walking, people.
Like, no, well, I think walking is amazing. You know, I get there's so much shit that is in my head that is about like my body, my reactions to food itself, what it's doing for me, like all of that. But when I was like at my heaviest, every single decision I made was made thinking about conserving energy, because at 500 pounds, like just standing up was exhausting. Yeah. And so I would literally be thinking about that, like taking off a jacket that, you know, I'm like lifting a lot of heavy weight. It's not just like what my body was meant to be doing. And so I think I spent so much time like resisting movement that like now I have to spend so much time going like, no, park a little further away. Don't take the elevator. Yeah. You know, and then I look like if I don't pay attention to it at all, at the end of the day, there's some days that I'm like at 700 steps. And that's just because I just don't naturally move a lot, you know?
But that's wild. That's wild.
It's insane. And then I
go, like every photo is you in like the gym just ripping weights and you're like at 700 steps. Cause what are you just walking to the gym and back?
I won't even walk to the gym, which it's close enough where I live to walk to, and I'll get my car. Like, it's literally like I'm walking to the bathroom, I'm walking to the kitchen, I'm walking to my car, you know. And if I don't actually actively make decisions to like check this and go like, oh, I have not walked at all today, I gotta go jump on an elliptical machine or take my dog on a walk.
I know, it's true. I think like some of the mindset, it is about those small choices, because I even, you know, it's funny because my kids go to school about 3 blocks away from my house. And, you know, last year I was just like, I'm going to start walking them to school. This is crazy. Like I'm driving 3 blocks. I'm in this fucking line of like 600 like angry moms in minivans, like maybe I just walk them and like I have a chance to like talk to my children before they start their day. And those are the days I get 10,000 steps.
Right.
Like I can see it. It's like during the week I'm at 10,000 and then on the weekend it's like 3,000 because I'm just a lazy piece of shit.
But no, I'm the same. If I get my cardio in first thing morning in the gym and I keep my phone in my pocket so that it's tracking it, because I also do believe that if it's not tracked, it didn't happen. So
yeah,
I could say like I stood in the kitchen a lot and walked around the kitchen quite a bit, but my phone's not recording that because it's on the counter. And so that didn't happen. But if I do get cardio in the morning, I always am impressed with my steps by the end of the day. But if I don't, there'll be nothing.
Yeah, nothing. And then you end up, I mean, that's the whole cycle, right? It's like, then you feel like shit. You know, it's funny, like, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like the market of like all these like healthy snacks. You know, I went to Whole Foods the other day and they have like this whole section of like smart sweets. And I don't really have a sweet tooth, but it's just like sometimes you want to like reward yourself at the end of the day. Those things are fucking gross. I hope they're not like sponsored to your podcast, but it's just like, it's like the average is like 2 grams of sugar. You eat them, it tastes like that stevia stuff. And I'm just like, if you're going to cheat, you know, like if you're like in a relationship, you're going to cheat on your wife, like make sure it's a 10. Like, what are you eating smart sweets for? And, you know, it's just so interesting to me, like how we're in a society where it's like, oh, we're going to cheat, but like not so bad. And then you can get into a cycle on that. And then you're eating those fucking things every night. And then you feel like shit.
Yeah, I don't mess with smart. I don't know smart sweets. The only thing that I think would fit that category that I do, but I do it really occasionally, is something like Halo Top or Enlightened.
Which Halo Top isn't bad.
It's for me, it's delicious, and it's not 1600 calories. So I go like, is this really cheat? Maybe it's a cheat if I have two a day, or even every day if I'm eating it. But like once a month, twice a month, that doesn't mess me up. And then I like these things called, I think the brand is Legendary Foods, and they're tasty pastries or something like that. It's like a high protein Pop-Tart.
Oh, amazing.
My kids hate them. I think they're delicious. Brandy will not touch them. I think they're incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, like on the, you know, going back to like the intermittent fasting thing. I mean, that has been a way that I've, you know, been able to drop a lot of weight. Like, you know, I think I don't basically eat breakfast anymore. I still have, like, I have a very addictive personality. Like I've gone through like the food cycle, and like now I smoke cigarettes, which is just like this whole other thing. I didn't smoke cigarettes until I was 37. Like, and then I'm like, oh, now I'm a pack and a half a day smoker. Like, this is great. But you know, I look at my routine, it's like, I'm not eating anything, but I'm like smoking 7 cigarettes, drinking coffee. Around 2 o'clock, I'll have like my first meal. And then I usually don't eat anything the rest of the day. And I feel very satiated that way. But then like when I cheat bad. And it was really interesting. You probably know this more than me, but like there was a point where I was like down 20 pounds and I was keeping with the schedule and I couldn't lose any more weight. And I was like going crazy. And one day I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to eat whatever I want and like just eat Mexican food and just like everything under the sun, moon, and stars. And the next day I dropped like 3 pounds and I was like, oh, this is interesting. So now I do have that like one cheat day a week, but you know, I ended up digging into it and it was like, you know, you're calorically tricking your body. And then I was like, oh, this makes sense why The Rock like once a week just eats like 400 pancakes. And I was like, not like I'm comparing myself to The Rock, which I mean, honestly would be a good comparison. But, you know, I think that's like been part of it is like, if I know that I can have that like once a week, then I'm like kind of okay.
Yeah. The The other thing to keep in mind is it is possible, and I've had this experience before, where you are still losing fat, but it's not really showing up on a scale because maybe your sodium intake is high,
yeah,
and you're retaining water or something like that. So that's totally possible too. But I want to know, you said you're intermittent fasting and watching what you eat. So within your window, it's not a free for all. Like, I have this 8-hour window or whatever, 6-hour window, whatever it is. You said you pretty much.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not like just consuming whatever, you know, very like, you know, high protein vegetable diet is kind of what I'm on. I mean, I still have like white rice because honestly, like, you know, I found that my body does pretty well on that. You know, but pretty much that's it. It's like white rice, protein, vegetables. And then, you know, and one of the big things that I changed was that I basically cook every meal. Like, yeah. I used to go out a lot. Like, every night I was going out to some new restaurant in LA and just all that shit. And now, especially when I have the kids, because I'm divorced and I have the kids half the time, like those times when I have the kids, I am cooking delicious, organic, healthy meals. And like, I'll make them their version and then I'll eat my version and I'll feel great. And I'm eating at like 5 or 6 o'clock at night, as opposed to like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then it's just like, you don't even have time to digest it. So I think like those few things, and it's just like little tweaks, have led to like big results.
Yeah, I think that has been the single biggest game changer for me, has been cooking and being, yes, as responsible as I can for my own food. And then, you know, so much so I made these decks of cards, because when I'd go out of town, Brandy would be like, wait, you're not cooking. What do I eat? I don't know what to eat.
Right.
And so I made her these decks of cards, like, here's all your options, or here's a bunch of options. It's not even all your options. Look through it and just pick something. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. As long as you're going to eat it, that's all that matters for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you do get into a weird thing where it's like you get sick of the food for sure. I think that's also been such a turning point in how I view food, is like, I'm looking at it more as like fuel than like how it tastes. Like, yeah, I'll still go out to a nice meal and I'll still enjoy that, but I really just don't care anymore. Like, I like my meals at home don't have to be like fucking fancy. Like, give me some chicken and some rice and put some hot sauce on it, I'm good.
Yeah. No, me too. Yeah. I think that, you know, the standard American diet is so tasty, and it's like engineered in a lab for the most part to be so tasty. You, yeah, know, and then it's calling to us, the fats and the salts and the sugars in a bag of Doritos. They're delicious, you know, and they've, yeah, got magical flavors on them.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of bad shit and that stuff. I mean, you know, and I think in addition, like, you know, the last 10 years have been a lot for me in terms of struggling with my weight, because, you know, and I think we touched on this in the last podcast, but when I was 30, I had brain surgery. My body like fully shut down. I have like a autoimmune pituitary gland issue that still is like unresolved. I'm 42 now. And so I've just been kind of dealing with being, you know, quote unquote sick for 12 years. And I go see all the top doctors at USC, and, you know, my endocrinologist has put me on hormone replacement therapy, but then I also have to take prednisone every day. And prednisone just is really tough, because even though I'm on like somewhat of a low dosage, you know, it's very hard to like cut weight, you know? So it's like, what would normally be like a path for someone to lose weight, like, I have to like double it, because on prednisone, your body just, like, my whole face has changed. Like, I used to have a skinnier face. Like, my whole skull has just gotten big from this drug. It's like really fascinating. But, you know, I think even more so, like, the last few years, I haven't really cared. I've just been so depressed about, you know, my body, my lifespan, like all the medical drugs that I've been on for the last 10 years. And then like I kind of just woke up last year and I was like, I can't do this. Like I can't just let it be okay. So, the good news is that through this weight loss, like, and I'm sure there's a lot of science that can back this, but I've actually been able to come down on my medication.
Oh, wow.
So because normally I was taking about like 10 milligrams of prednisone a day, and now I'm down to about five. And I
That's
don't get
amazing.
symptoms that I was dealing with before. So there obviously is some correlation to just overall like health and what you're putting into your body, reducing inflammation and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's been quite a journey,
What does the pituitary gland do? I don't know much about that gland.
Yeah. So it was like one of those things. It was like a page in science class that like we all glossed over and just completely forgot. It basically controls all the hormones in your body. So your adrenal glands, your thyroid gland, and it essentially is like tells those glands like how much output to do, right? So when your pituitary gland is off, then like everything kind of shuts down. So the prednisone helps with your adrenal gland production to help give you energy throughout the day, and also in turn reduces inflammation. I also put testosterone in my ass like every 2 weeks because I do blood work like every month, and my T levels are super low because of the pituitary gland issue. I used to take thyroid replacement medication, but I don't need that anymore because my blood work shows that it's in a healthy range. So it's really weird. I feel like I'm like this billionaire biohacker,
Right.
but I'm just like this normal fucking guy that has to go like get blood work every month to make sure everything is okay. And it is interesting because I do see that when I watch what I'm eating and I maintain somewhat of like a healthy lifestyle, then like all those levels are kind of in check. So it is really interesting, from that perspective of like fueling your body, what are you putting into it? And like exercise, I haven't really done any all.
Yeah, it's wild, man. There's been dudes who have done like the Twinkie diet to cut fat
Sure.
and show like, well, I can lose weight while eating the Twinkie diet. And then you couple that with like the there's like evidence that any drop in fat of like even 5% of your body mass or 10%, something like that, something pretty small. Shows profound health benefits. So like you could take those two little pieces of data and go like, well, then any way we scheme weight loss should be an overall benefit to our health. But like to a guy in your situation, and what I suspect many Americans are dealing with is there's other shit that processed food is doing to our body. I know, like, gram for gram, when we're accounting for calories in, calories out, sugar plays no part in making us hold more weight than, dietary fat or, protein, right? It all
Right.
kind of equals out in the wash for fat loss. But when we're talking about, like, all this other stuff, with endocrinology and hormones and functions of the body. And I just think it must be having some effects, like the rise of autoimmune disease is
Oh, it's
astronomical.
huge.
And
Yeah.
there's like all kinds of other stuff that's going on. And it almost becomes like an environmental contaminant or something, where it's like we would be better off as a country if there wasn't this obesity crisis. Okay, fair. Probably less of a stress on everybody's joints, less medical issues, less of a stress on healthcare. Like, it's fine. That's a fine statement that can be argued, morally or otherwise. But at the same time, like, I wonder if we looked at the guy who did the Twinkie diet to lose weight, if we looked at his blood, if we looked at his hormones, What are those secondary effects that are happening because he's only eating, though he's in a caloric deficit, though he's losing fat and should be reaping the health benefits of that? Is there something else going on because of this garbage food that he's basically eating, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, there's no way that you can adjust that kind of food without it causing other ramifications. You know, I think, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I think people, like, this is the whole problem with the fad stuff. And it's like, I mean, we're on our phones all day. We're going through social media and we see all these things, right? Like, what do we do? And, you know, I think, you know, as somebody who struggled with weight for, you know, the last 20 years, you know, you've tried everything, you know, I know you have too, you know, and at a certain point, you just like, I also think everybody's fucking different, you know, and like, we have these set standards of like, if you do this, and this is the result. You know, last year, it's like, don't eat any carbs. This year, it's like, okay, white rice is okay. Like, you know, find out for yourself, like what works and like test those things. And I think that's what I've done. I think that's like the only real change that I've done is I've kind of thrown out everything and just like tried new things. And then like, oh, like this morning, I don't feel like shit. You know, maybe what did I eat yesterday? Okay, cool. Let's replicate that and see if the next day I don't feel like shit when I wake up, you know?
Yeah. There's a new documentary on Netflix. Then there was one years ago or a couple of years ago called Game Changers, which I think was like all the rage for a minute. And it basically boiled down to like, don't eat animal products or be a vegan. Right. And now there's one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting. So cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Called something to do with twins. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it. But I believe it will or from what I've seen on social media and talked to a few people about it, it will do the same thing. It will boil down to like an advocate veganism or vegetarianism. Right. And like, you know, I think like to your point, like you found that doing intermittent fasting and having a cheat meal once a week or a cheat day once a week is workable, and you've lost weight and it's like something you're happy with. Like, that's amazing. Full stop. Yes.
Yeah.
No more to like, well, no, you're eating too much cucumber skin, which has lectins, right, and you should be eating your tomatoes. And, you know, like, no, there, you should just keep doing that because it's working. You know what I mean? And you don't feel like garbage. Like, it would be one thing if you were sitting here going like, I'm losing weight, but God, does it suck. God, I'm miserable. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I really just do feel so much better. And yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, this is the problem with America. It's like, we make these sweeping statements about people and try and put everybody in the fucking bucket, you know? And it is true. It's like, you know, I just saw some thing on my phone the other day, and it was like, this is why vegans are like, you know, getting sick, and this is why you need to introduce protein. It's like, everybody's different. Like, we have different DNA. It's like, find out what works for you. You know, you are the best barometer for like how you feel. Right. Yeah. And, you know, like, I mean, you know, like when you, you know, wake up in the morning, do you feel good or not? I mean, that's kind of it. Right.
I mean, that's a big deal, right? If something you're consuming is increasing the likelihood that you're like going to give up on the day and lay in bed because you feel like garbage, maybe like get rid of that stuff. Right. And, you know, like for me, so much of it is like a mental battle between, because I will get to the point where I go to the gym and I feel great. It's like, you know, somebody is like spraying down every machine with some magical antidepressant that has no side effects. You know what I mean? Like
it's crazy
magic that happens for me in the gym that really has nothing to do with fat loss or weight loss.
Yeah.
It's like I leave the gym and I go like this, how good I feel right now should be illegal. And I feel like bad for everybody who's sitting in an office who hasn't experienced this today, because I feel incredible. And yet 50% of the time, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Yeah. I have to convince myself to go. I like have 300 other things that seem more important. And, you know, then like you get into like, it's hard to make the time. And and the days that I don't go suck. And by the end of the day, I'm crabby. And it's like, and same thing with food. Like, I know that if I eat a pint of Halo Top right before I go to bed, I'm going to feel like garbage. Now, is it because I'm putting 60 grams of carbs into my system and not doing any exercise? I don't know. That's an unusual amount of carbs for me to consume all at once without movement, right? The majority of my carbs are before or after a workout. I'm not usually eating a bunch of carbs and then sitting around. So right before bed, I wake up, I feel groggy. I don't know if it's the carbs, if it's some other chemical in them, but I love the way it tastes. And then I feel crappy. And if I didn't have some barriers in place, I'd eat that fucking shit every day, you know? Like, I'm a sicko in that sense.
I know, but I think there's a few things you touched on. There's like, you know, doing things that you don't want to do is such an undervalued concept. I think nowadays, like, you know, one of the things which I didn't mention is, you know, I did start doing cold plunges. My buddy has a pool. He turns off the fucking heater in the winter. I mean, it's as cold as LA gets, right? But it gets down to like 50 degrees.
Sure. And that, you know, from what I've read, 50 degrees is all you need. Like, these maniacs are doing 35 degrees. I mean, you don't need to do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, we go into it. We have a little text group. You know, I'll maybe do it twice a week. And I'm telling you, like, that serotonin spike that you get from it is like no drug.
Like, and by the way, I do this too. And I go like, all the weird health benefits that they're touting could be total bullshit. What might be happening is I get into this cold and my body says, we're dying. You're going to die. Get the fuck out of this situation. And then I get out and my body says, here's a reward for doing what we told you to do. It could be that simple.
Yes. And I think that is the thing, right? It's like going to the gym is the same concept. It's like your body is literally telling you not to do it. And you're just like, fuck you, body.
Right.
We're going to do it. And then it's like, oh, maybe you won this one.
Right.
And then you feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Now you're done. You're leaving this torture chamber. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It could be that.
But I think that is one of those things. And this is where, like, you know, weight gain and weight loss is so, you know, mental, right? Because, like, we really have to do things that we don't want to do. It's very easy to eat a bag of Doritos. You know, there's 400 of them. You go into 7-Eleven. It's like there is nothing healthy in there. You know, I think getting over that mental block of just like, no, I actually want to punish myself today a little bit, you know, and I think that's good. I think it's good. People don't want to feel uncomfortable anymore.
Right. Well, this was a profound thing for me. My willingness to understand that some portion of me was going to fight tooth or nail to remain in the state that I was in or continue in that state, right, of obesity and debauchery and base instincts, right? If my instinct is get a cheeseburger right now and fries, there's a big part of me that like gets stuck on that and is going like, that's what you need to do. And my willingness to fight those urges and to be in a state basically of doing stuff that was counter to what I wanted was a big, big change where I was like, oh, a lot of my life is going to now be about denial of these things that are producing a state I don't want anymore, you know, but I still want the cheeseburger. I recognize that one cheeseburger isn't going to create this state, but one cheeseburger is the doorway to lots of cheeseburgers, which will create that state.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you're always on like this mental bubble of like, you know, cause you know that if you eat that one cheeseburger, then it leads to a pint of ice cream. And then the next day you feel like shit. And then you want to just eat more of that. I think, you know, it is to me, I think, overcoming a lot of mental, you know, addiction. And it's funny because I remember I DM'd you about like 6 months ago and I said, I think I finally overcome my addiction to food. And you know, it's not that I don't have an addictive personality. I absolutely do. It's terrible. Like I've had it my whole life. Like if I'm going to smoke, I'm going to smoke cigarettes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to smoke a lot of them. If I'm going to do drugs, I'm going to do a lot of fucking drugs, you know? And I think you get to these points where, you know, you really have to, you know, break that down. I don't know that there is like one easy answer. And I do think it is about all those small little decisions that you make throughout the day. But I think with food, I've kind of figured it out and I feel really good about it. I think there's like, now it's like opening up like, ooh, I have to quit smoking now. Like, you know, and now I have to start tackling all these other things, but I don't know. That seems like an...
here's my pitch for like the methadone of cigarettes. And that is nicotine lozenges. They're wonderful. They're just...
Yeah, my good buddy... Allison just launched a nicotine replacement therapy company called Blip, and they basically repackaged it for like Gen Z and like millennials. So it's not like Nicorette anymore. It's just like cool Nicorette, you know?
Right. Good.
And honestly, like, cause I travel a lot for work and I just went to New York a few months ago and I popped a couple of those on the plane. And like, normally when I'm like coming off a 6 hour flight, I am like, I will kill everybody.
Yeah.
I will just like get the fuck out of my way. I'll say something nasty to the pilot about how shitty of a landing that was. Like, I'll just like, get me out of here. I need to rip a cigarette. And those things work. Yeah. Like, it legit works. And it really just does level you out. So I have been doing that a little bit. And I have noticed, because I was smoking about two packs a day a year ago. And now I'm down to about one. So,
yeah, cigarettes are a tricky one. I wonder if, you know, I have so many thoughts about like Ozempic and Mounjaro and the new.
Oh, I want to hear all your
drugs. Well, like, you know, I in a broad sense, like, I think that they're going to be massive, right? I think like buy stock in any of those companies. I think that those things are projected to like go up in sales by 10,000% in the next year. And that's insane, right? And so yeah. What happens if a broad portion of the populace who was very hungry is no longer very hungry? And so suddenly, like, we're putting out a bunch of this processed food out of business. Like, that to me is completely wild, you know? And I would be willing to bet.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I bet those companies, like, you know, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, maybe not Coca-Cola, people still get thirsty, I suppose. But I bet they're having meetings about this. You know, I bet the processed food cabal is having like secret get-togethers where they're like, how do we counteract this? You know what I mean? We need to make food even more calorically dense. That's like, you know, so these people who lose their appetites are still getting our food in them.
Yeah, I mean, I love to think that they're behind all these like anti-Ozempic campaigns that are going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's funny because like I've actually had like a few people hit me up because it's like, you know, it's funny going back to the baggy clothes thing. It's like I wear a lot of baggy clothes now, but when I post a photo of myself when I'm like on a hike or just wearing workout clothes, everyone's like, Jesus Christ, you've lost a lot of weight. You're on Ozempic, huh? And I was like, and it's funny because even my girlfriend now, she's like, you can tell me if you're on it. Like, she's like, I see the syringes in the bathroom. Like, no, that's for my testosterone. Like, I'm not on Ozempic. And like, you know, I have some friends that are on it. Honestly, they look fucking great. Fuck it. Like, if it's working, it's working. I don't know like what the you know, potential, you know, side effects are. We don't know these things, you know.
Well, okay, here's all I would say about the potential side effects. Like, you are in a kind of a different set of circumstances because you're having to look at your blood work every month, so I have no idea what any of that stuff would do to you specifically. Right. But people have been taking it for a few years now for type 2 diabetes.
Sure.
And we're not seeing people grow third arms. You know what I mean? Nobody's dropping dead. There's not people having strokes en masse. Now, maybe it takes 7 years to produce those kind of side effects, but it's highly unlikely. It would seem that if there were going to be real serious adverse effects, we would have seen that in the test group of people who were the type 2 diabetics. I don't think we're going to start to see really, you know, look, if you open it up and start giving it to a lot more people, I'm sure we'll see some more adverse effects.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have taken it for a number of years now.
Yeah.
And it's not like, real bad.
Like, as opposed to what? Like, oh, as opposed to you being like seriously overweight and having like potential heart issues. And I mean, there's so many things that I just go, cool. Like, I know like probably 90% of the people that take it, it's a vanity thing. Like,
right.
You know, an easy fix.
I do think that the worst potential adverse effect for me is, you know, there's a lot of people who do yo-yo dieting and that's like a crash diet and then they're done and then they gain the weight back. And what can actually happen in that scenario is when you do a really severe calorically restricted diet, you're not just losing fat, you're losing fat, but then some percentage you're also losing lean tissue and muscle.
Sure.
And when you regain your weight, you're mostly regaining fat. And so, like, you could see a person who yo-yo diets, and if you averaged out their weight, let's say their weight was 300 pounds, over a number of years of yo-yo dieting, you could actually see their average weight stay about the same, but their body fat percentage increase because they're burning up this muscle when they starve themselves. And when they regain the weight, they're not regaining the lean tissue and muscle. They're just reaccumulating fat really quickly. If we have now a thing where it's super, super easy to do a crash diet, right? Because you're not hungry when you take something like Wegovy or the other one for weight loss is Zepbound, I think it's called. We could, over a few years, see the body fat percentage of these people increase, and their weight stay roughly the same because they take the drug for short term, lose a bunch of weight, get off the drug, gain the weight back, have to recycle it, you know, and that's kind of depressing.
I think you just described the last 10 years of life, but yeah, I'm not depressing at all. I just feel like, you know, I think with the lack of exercise and like lifting weights and stuff, I do feel like that is exactly what's happening to me. Like, I go through these yo-yo diets, I drop the weight, and then I gain it back on, and I'm somehow just like fatter than I used to be.
Well, no, that's, I mean, because muscle, you know, your muscle mass is so much smaller that, like, if you take off 30 pounds and 40% of it is muscle, right? Right. And lean tissue, that's, you know, let's call that 12 and a half, 13 pounds of muscle. And then you gain back 30 pounds of fat, you're actually going to be larger.
This is all making sense. I mean, maybe in 10 years, we'll see all the Ozempics. They'll just, instead of everybody going like, oh, he looks so great, he must be on Ozempic, like, they'll just be just these little round potato balls just rolling on the street.
Right.
Be like, you know, oh, Ozempic, you know?
I think, yeah, and there are ways to mitigate that. Like, you eat a bunch of protein while you're doing it. You do some resistance training. You maybe find out whatever a maintenance dose of Ozempic is, you know, but those are all true for any diet. Like, you're doing a diet, make sure you get, you know, make sure you get protein, do some resistance training. You can say that as much as you want. It doesn't seem like, it's like what we're saying. Like, people are going to do, ultimately, when people have success, it's because they found what works for them.
100%.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people where success, the only metric that gauges success is I lost weight, full stop, right?
Right.
I then gained weight, doesn't matter, because I lost weight doing X. So I'm going to repeat X over and over and over again. I lost weight doing keto. Okay. And now you need to do keto again, and you're going to do it for the eighth time. Now you're on your fucking eighth cycle of keto. And you're not going to look at the fact that you keep gaining this weight back. And by the way, you can insert any diet into that.
Yeah, 100%. It's every diet. I mean, I think that's the fucking joke, right? Like, we've been manufactured to believe that these diets actually work. Like,
right. Right. You know? I mean, if it is just, I want to lose weight and I don't mind gaining it back, they work great. They're great. And by the way, the diet industry is raking in money. You know, it's a massive industry. So, like, maybe
where the mental comes in, man, it's like everybody wants the quick fix. And this is ultimately, like, and I feel shitty for saying this because I do have friends that are on Ozempic, but, like, I think the mental thing, like, I would rather suffer for a year and lose 40 pounds than lose 40 pounds in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I think, like, maybe that's how fucked up I am. But, like, something about, I think, the mental aspect of, like, you're kind of punishing yourself in the opposite way of what you've been doing to yourself for the last 10 years. And you have to, like, change that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That point of view, it's the same thing with the cold plunge. It's like, I need to do something for my body that it really doesn't want to do, and you have to push through that. Otherwise, then, yeah, you're going to take Ozempic for 6 months. You're going to lose your weight. You're going to come off of it, and then what?
And like, let's be fair. When I look at you, I don't think you're a candidate for Ozempic. I don't know.
Wearing baggy clothes.
Well, okay. But yeah, I mean, maybe. But I don't think 40 pounds, whatever, are you happy at your weight now? You've lost 40 pounds.
No, I need to lose more. Like, I want to, I think, like, I mean, we can talk numbers. I think numbers are good to talk.
Okay, right. Let's fucking shoot. Well, like,
the heaviest I've ever been was 315. That was early. Okay. That's big. I mean, I'm 6'3".
I suspect at 315 you are a candidate for Ozempic.
Yeah.
Or Wegovy.
Yeah. So now I'm down to 275. I would like to be at 255. I think that's a good weight. My football weight when I was in high school was like 215. Never gonna get back to that. Like, I'm 42 now. You know, I think 255 would be healthy for me. You know, it's funny. I was, you know, this Jeremy Allen White GQ ad. Have you seen this thing?
It's like the greatest looking guy ever.
Yeah, like insane. And he got so ripped for the movie that is coming up. And it was funny because my girlfriend showed me the pictures and she's like, no, but look at his before. Like, you could look like this. And I was like, I would kill to have his before.
By the way, his before, he looks incredible.
Before, yeah. Like, he was a great looking dude. And I was just like,
yeah, his before, he's probably 15% body fat at the most.
Yeah. So, like, my goal is like before Jeremy Allen White. Like, that is my goal body. And like, the ripped, like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Like, maybe if I can work out 4 times a day. But like,
well, also, I guarantee you his after is not sustainable. Either guys who look like that for long periods of time are either just thoroughly miserable at all time of the day and probably using some drugs that you don't want to use. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, how do they get like that? Like, are they literally working out all day long?
No, you can look like that. It's just miserable. Like, I got to looking the best I could look, which honestly, even the pictures of me at the best weren't great. That I wasn't using overhead lighting, which I think I would have looked even better if we were using the right lighting. Listen, this is nitpicking.
Lighting is everything.
But like, you get there and like at the photo shoot, I gained like 13 pounds. Just trying to refill my muscles with glycogen. Like, you do all this crazy, like you're doing water doping where like a week out from the photo shoot you're increasing your water to like 3 gallons a day for a week, and then a couple days before you stop eating salt, and then you stop drinking water altogether, or you go down from 3 gallons a day to like half a liter or something like that. And wow. And your body just gets rid of all this fluid and you look insane and you take a picture. You can't live like that. You can't. Yeah. You're miserable. you know, like bodybuilders for their bodybuilder show. First of all, bodybuilders are almost all on drugs. And then for their show, that's not maintainable for long periods of time. Like they look like that for a couple hours.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, like, thanks, Jeremy,
for
fucking my entire life up.
Right. Now that's the standard we all have to live by.
Yeah, I'm like, every girl on the internet is looking at that going, why don't they have that? And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Grant. Well, this has been awesome. I'm happy for you. I'm happy you found something you're happy with. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, this is great.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
Bye. And now for the Q&A.
Here's a question for you from Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Dan says, I've been doing well over the last year plus, and I've gone from 310 to 280 at 28% body fat.
That's awesome.
He says, I'm 6'1 and would consider myself an intermediate lifter. My current primary goal has been fat loss and navigating the sweet tooth that has been a lifelong struggle. I thought I made it clear to my wife, it's just us and a dog, that I don't handle the junk well when it's in the house. Last weekend, she invited some friends over to watch an NFL playoff game without asking me. Not a huge deal, but her friend is a baker and she brought a bunch of crap that I couldn't resist. I still tracked everything and was appalled to learn this one night and the next day leftovers completely destroyed my week, over 2,000 calories above my weekly goal. Should I look at this as a one-time bump in the road, or do you think I need to reiterate how important losing this fat is to my wife? Or do I need to work on myself and learning how to say no? I just found it difficult to avoid when the junk was brought into my house without asking me, you know?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think definitely communicating with your wife is a good idea. But I also think, like, you know, I'm a sober guy. And if somebody brings a six pack of beer into my house, I'm not drinking the beer. There probably is a six pack of beer in my house because my wife keeps it for company. And I'm not saying you have to be exactly as I am. If this is new, if you're still struggling with this, then certainly you should be able to say to somebody like, hey, I'm having a rough time with this right now. I don't have my bearings. I don't have my feet under me entirely yet. I'd like to feel super safe in my house. So please don't bring any delicious stuff that might tempt me. I think you're well within your rights to say that. And then I also think, like, the world is a dangerous place. Like there's pitfalls for us everywhere. So we also have to practice maintaining our decisions despite these apparent dangers. So, you know, you're going to drive by a Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, you're going to, every store has Skittles for you at the checkout stand. Like that, we can't do anything about that. And I understand in your house, that's another thing. And especially if you're still feeling like you don't, like you're going to have a bad night, you know, have a conversation with your wife, explain this to her. Your wife sounds pretty cool that she's inviting people over for the football game. I don't think my wife ever invited anybody over for a football game. I don't watch football. Is your wife the football fan? That sounds like a cool wife. So yeah, have a conversation with her and let her know that, you know, I mean, hopefully your goal, this is the other thing. Like if you're just like chewing your nails and white knuckling, losing more weight so that you can go back to eating the pastries in a way that is going to be damaging to whatever you're trying to achieve now. I don't know. I would not recommend doing that. I would recommend, you know, if you got to take some long break from them, fine. But the world is not going to get rid of delicious pastries. And so being comfortable with having them come into your house for a night and not eating them might be just a game you have to play with yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like going to bars, but I can go to a bar and not have a drink. I don't know if I would have done that in the beginning of my sobriety. It definitely took me some time, but I didn't expect to feel entirely safe about this forever. I knew that there were going to be instances where I was going to have to exert more personal responsibility than normal, than in the comfort and safety of my own home. And that's something I've had to deal with myself. So I don't know. I think there's probably some happy medium there, right? Like, you want to have a baking night with your friends, or you want your friend who's baking delicious pastries to come over, fine. But maybe I'm going to go somewhere else that night, right? Because it's your wife's house too. Just let me know ahead of time, because I really don't want to eat this stuff. And then I do it and then I feel like crap. It screws up my whole week, something I worked really hard for. Like, that seems like a perfectly fine conversation to have. And that's similar to a conversation I've had with my wife. I have kids. It's very, very hard to make kids eat just chicken breast and broccoli. And so our house always had stuff in it that I was not able to eat. You don't have kids, so you don't have to do that. And your wife sounds like a cool gal, and you could probably have this conversation with her. But then also, you're gonna, in the world, run into situations where everything's not perfect and, you know, life is throwing curveballs at you and you're gonna have to deal with them. And so, you know, I think it's a balance of the two. Don't pack it in and give up, but, you know, maybe invite somebody over and tell them to bring something and intentionally look at that thing that you want to eat and don't eat it and see if you can make it through. You know, if you think sometimes I think when we're caught off guard or when I'm caught off guard, it's harder. Like if I haven't thought through any of this stuff and then a slice of pizza arrives in front of me hot and delicious and, you know, with oil and the smell is hitting my nose, I have less willpower than if I'm thinking through. A slice of pizza is going to land in front of me, and how am I going to react to that slice of pizza? So maybe that's one suggestion I'd make. You know, think through, like, what's my one thing? Maybe it's Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay, I want my friend to bring over Reese's peanut butter cups, and I'm going to beat the urge to eat those Reese's peanut butter cups. And you actually practice. I think it is easier when you aren't so surprised by it, but then doing that might make it easier when you are surprised by it. I don't know. I never had somebody, you know, set down a gin and tonic in front of me and see how I would react to it. I didn't do that, but I definitely have had the situation where there's been food that, and I've eaten it sometimes. I've also eaten it and then I felt bad. You know, have a conversation with your wife and maybe try to react differently the next time you're in that situation. I think it's a kind of a mixture of two things there.
Yeah, that's all super valuable, looking at it from both sides. Thank you for that answer. I benefited from that too, Ethan Suplee. Anybody else out there have a question for Ethan? You know you do. Send it to us at hello@americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram @American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.